Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm happy to have Michelle Garber as my guest for today's show. Michelle Garber is a plastic surgery coach and the founder of the Nip Tuck Coach. She's a leading expert in the plastic surgery and beauty industry, a patient advocate, and is nationally recognized as the go-to person when considering plastic or cosmetic surgery. Michelle consults with patients from all over the U.S. and Canada. She's also a partner with Aftercare of Beverly Hills and provides private post-op concierge services and aftercare to plastic surgery patients. Michelle has spent over 20 years as an educator, marketer, media specialist, and publicist in the lifestyle and beauty industry. Michelle has helped many patients find the right surgeon and has been an advisor to surgeons and skincare manufacturers since 1998. She is the host and producer of the Nip Tuck Talk Show. To connect with Michelle Garber online, please visit her website, niptuckcoach.com. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. You were right when you told me that it's a bit of a tongue twister, that Nip Tuck, especially the Nip Tuck Talk Show, you know, your radio show.
Yeah.
That's a real tongue twister. And I am so excited to have you on the show today and talk to you about what you do and how you are living your music, because it's in such a unique way compared to anyone I've had on the show before. And I just I'm so curious how you got involved in this, why you founded a plastic surgery business. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I've been in the world of, let's say, beauty and aesthetics for many years. And I also have an affinity towards medical and medical professionals. So I originally was a publicist, and my clients actually were plastic surgeons and dermatologists. And I worked with patients, and I worked with the doctors in terms of their PR. And sometimes I coached patients as well when we were talking about a certain procedure. And through that, I also found that patients really did not have a great understanding of sometimes what we were even talking about. And then I had my own experiences. So I had my own experiences with lots of different procedures and cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery. And I realized that there was a need to connect patients with education so that they really had an understanding of what they were going to do and manage their expectations and handhold them through the whole process. And that's how I really came about this, was from my experiences and my knowledge, and also the communication gap that I was feeling between patients and surgeons, and some of the things that happened to me that were not great. And all of this came together between the medical, the PR, loving the industry, my own experiences, and wanting to help patients out there make sure that they really understand what they're doing, who to go to, and manage their expectations and hold their hand through the journey, because it is a journey and it's not to be taken lightly.
I just have to say, I am so glad to have met you, thanks to our Toastmasters Club. That's how I know you. And I've met so many interesting people through there, and everyone that's there is passionate about what they talk about, at least in our club. And so I've always heard your passion about this, but this is more than I've ever known about it, what you do before. But I definitely felt that what you do, how you're living your music, is something that can help so many people, because that is such an overwhelming thing to even think about getting any plastic surgery done. And so I think that what you're doing is just an amazing service that you're providing. And they say that
you teach best what
you needed to learn, most to learn. And it sounds like you've learned a lot of it through your experiences, and now you're sharing your experiences with your clients. Is that right?
That's right. And I don't get compensated by the surgeons, which puts me in a whole different space than some other so-called plastic surgery consultants, plastic surgery coaches that are actually getting a kickback from the surgeons. And the surgeons call it marketing or PR because it's really illegal to do it that way. But there's a way around that. But I keep myself totally independent from all the doctors, all the facilities. Everyone that I am involved with on a referral basis, I vet them all personally so that it's clean. There's no bias. Mm. And
wow.
It is definitely a service that I've been pioneering, and it's taken a while for consumers to really get it, to understand, and also for the doctors to get it and to utilize my services for their patients on if a patient is on the fence, so to speak, and really needs extra handholding. That's where the doctor can use my services as a consultant. So it's a new way to think about doing procedures rather than just going online and going to Yelp and going to Real Self and reading all these reviews, because it's not really the truth. There's so much going online that is not real people, competitive practices, vendors, manufacturers doing reviews, and paid for reviews. It's very easy to pay for likes and reviews, and people do that. So when you see 10,000 likes, trust me, it's not real.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's kind of obvious even from when you're on Facebook and have a business page. You're always getting reminded that you can pay for sponsored things, and you can get more likes that way. And I don't know. It's crazy out there right now as far as trusting who you can trust about things. And so I think that what you're doing to me seems like a really valuable service. Now, you were mentioning that sometimes the surgeons recommend you, though. So how does that work? Do they compensate you at all, or do they just have you have the patients and then they compensate you? How does that work?
Usually it's directly with the patients. So I charge like a therapist would charge. For an hourly, or whether I'm going to consultations with them and seeing them through the aftercare, then that's different. When a surgeon refers, it's usually a patient that's a little bit on the fence, so to speak, and not quite ready to have a surgery. And in that case, my consultation with them is a little bit different because I'm advocating for that particular surgeon, because that's the surgeon's patient. So I'm there supporting the practice at that point.
So there are definitely at least a couple of different ways that you can work with the clients, the surgeons, and the patients.
Yeah.
So what led you to start the Nip Tuck Talk Show? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've always wanted to do a talk show. I think that's my other self. My other self was I wanted to be an investigative reporter. I wanted to be a news anchor. I love the media. I've always had an attraction towards that. And so doing a talk show, actually even before this whole Nip Tuck coach and plastic surgery, I was thinking about doing a radio talk show, but there's a lot involved to do that, and especially today. So that went by the wayside. And I was urged by actually a publicist that said to me, you know, you really should do this now, that would help. And thanks to them, I really got the push to start the Nip Tuck Talk Show. So it's morphed. It was first called the Nip Tuck Coach Show, and then it was called Nip Tuck and Nip Tuck Talk. And so it has morphed, and it is now I'm doing things greater and bigger and more syndication, and I love doing it. It's a way that I can connect with people out there in the audience, and I can interview doctors, and I can get that part of me that loves the media. I can tap into that as well.
Well, that's so interesting because, yeah, it's when I think about living your music and it's about living what you feel called to do, I find that for me anyway, and it seems like for most of the people, it's not just one thing. And it's kind of a journey of, you know, this thing leads to that thing and to the next thing. And it's, you know, it's just, to me, it's fascinating to hear the passion path of development that people have in these different ways. And I'm hoping that it hearing it will also remind the listeners that they can combine a whole bunch of their different interests to come up with ways to live their music in ways that feel right to them and help other people and benefit other people as well. So, you know,
it's a journey, and I think I've always been a little bit of an entrepreneur, and I realized that a long time ago, that I can't work in a company in a 9-to-5 job. I've tried it, been there, done that, didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so it's just who I am. But not everyone feels that. Not everyone feels the urge to follow their dreams, or they're scared, or there's many different reasons why they don't do that. And I've always been a risk taker, and I basically have just pushed forward. And when I get set back, I go push forward again, set back, I go push forward again. But that's not a lifestyle that a lot of people really want. I mean, it's hard. And
well,
you really do have to think about your passion and don't listen to what other people say and don't let anyone bring you down and just keep focused on what you believe in and what you want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And the thing I want to point out here, though, is that you're doing a lot of this you're doing now as your work that you get paid for. But when I'm saying live your music, it can also be just doing things that give you joy anyway, even if you're not getting paid for them, because those things are important as well because they help you be a happier person. So anyone out there that is in that kind of job that you were describing and doesn't feel they want to be an entrepreneur or be out on their own as far as work can still take time to learn things that they feel they want to learn. They can take art classes, and they can go take singing lessons or join West Coast Songwriters like we did. You know, there's just a lot of different ways that you can live your music. And I think that one of the things I was wondering about also, though, with the plastic surgery is I had read Maxwell Maltz's book, Psycho-Cybernetics, years and years ago. I don't know if you've read that. Have you read
that
book?
No, I haven't.
Well, it's an interesting book because he was, I think, a plastic surgeon. I haven't looked at the book for a little while, but I think he was a plastic surgeon, and he found that a lot of times what people's beliefs were caused them to still feel ugly even after they had gotten the surgery, and that how we think about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves has so much to do with whether or not we're actually going to be happy with the surgery. So I was thinking of that and then thinking of you being a coach to these people and how you can help them manage their expectations so that they're not expecting their whole life to change and get better just because of a surgery.
And that's a really good point. And people have to remember that if you're not happy, you're not a happy person and you have
mm-hmm.
things in your life for whatever the reasons are, you may be depressed, it may be physiological, you may have body dysmorphic disorder and psychological issues. Having surgery is not going to change any of that. And that's where people get into trouble. They really
mm-hmm.
need to get the help. If you're feeling depressed, go see a therapist first. If you have
mm-hmm.
body dysmorphic disorder, go see a therapist. And I think more and more surgeons are now seeing these red flags
mm-hmm.
with patients and will gently somehow guide them away from the surgery until they're more psychologically able to deal with it and not have these huge expectations, because that's an unhappy patient, and that's going to be an unhappy patient, and they're going to be miserable with the doctor as well. So it's difficult, you know, when you're in that situation. I have had clients that have been body dysmorphic, though I'm not a therapist and I can't diagnose it, but I could. There were a lot of red flags, and
mm-hmm.
in those cases, when that did occur, I would really try and talk to the client about how they're feeling, and maybe instead of paying me, go see a psychiatrist or a therapist to work
mm-hmm.
on that and get them away from the fillers and the surgery, because those type of clients hop around from one doctor to another, and they're never, never happy, and they're never going to be happy. And that's difficult. It's difficult for me, and it's difficult for the doctor as well. So, yeah, if your surgery is not going to make you a better person, it may help your self-esteem if you're healthy,
mm-hmm.
if you're psychologically healthy, and
right.
you don't look as young as you feel anymore, or you know your body, you've had children and you feel saggy and you don't feel sexy anymore and you go for a mommy
mm-hmm.
makeover. That's different.
Mhm. Right.
That's going to help your self-esteem.
Right. Yeah. That's a fine line. True. Yeah.
It is a fine line.
Now, do you cover any of that in the ebook that you have on your website? You have an ebook on your website, Safety First, 10 Golden Rules for Safe Cosmetic Surgery, that people can download on your website, right?
Yes, they can download that at niptuckcoach.com. That I wrote, that's basically, it's very easy questions to ask a surgeon. Things that consumers really don't think about when they go have a consultation. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, board certifications, accreditations for facilities, before and after photos, understanding procedures, of office procedures, revision procedures. And so it's 10 simple, as I call them, 10 rules for safe cosmetic surgery or plastic surgery. And these are questions and information that anyone who's considering going for a consultation should read before they go to a consultation, because they're simple things. And because they're so simple, people don't think about asking them, because when they do go to consultations with a plastic surgeon,
mm-hmm.
they don't really listen to most of the things that a surgeon says. It's so much information. It's a little too much information. And
right.
they've got
it seems
one,
like it would be overwhelming.
Overwhelming, and they've got one thought in mind, and that's the end result.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get to the end result, they've got to go through all these different steps, but they need
mm-hmm.
to understand the steps in order
yeah.
to get the best result for them. Does that make
well,
sense?
Well, it sounds
to you?
Like that is a really valuable resource for anyone who's considering any type of plastic or cosmetic surgery. So everyone listening out there, go to Michelle's website and download that free book, ebook. You know, the time's going by really quickly, like I knew it would. And
I know, it always does.
Yeah, it's time for me to ask the questions that I like to ask for my listeners to think about. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, Michelle, by you living your music in your way that you're doing it is going to help so many people. I'm so glad that you're doing that. And
oh, thank you.
It's just, you know, that's why I wrote my book. It was in a different way to help people live their music and to feel good about themselves and to feel happier, like you were saying. I mean, I guess actually in some ways my book could be a book for people to read to get happier so that they can have the surgery.
There you go.
Yeah, because it's about enjoying the journey of your life, you know, and it's life lessons for achieving your dreams and being happy and having good relationships and having good communications and all of those things that, you know, if like you said, when you're getting older and you feel like you need or would like a little bit of help in looking younger, that then that's when I can really see it. It's funny because I have something in common with Oprah Winfrey and Christie Brinkley, and that is that we're all three 62 years old. And so, you know, it's funny because I hadn't really ever thought about doing plastic surgery ever, and now it's kind of like, well, maybe someday. I mean, it used to be, oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, that's it. I know. You hear people say, never. I will never do it. I've never done it. You know, I love when I meet women, and I know mm-hmm. that they've had fillers, and I know that they've had Botox. Oh, I mm-hmm. would never do that. Oh, no, no. I want to age gracefully. I hear it a lot. So sometimes people don't want anyone else to know what they're doing, you know, which is fine. I mean, I tell everyone what I do because that's what I do.
Right.
But there are people that I totally respect. I respect the confidentiality, and I respect the fact that they don't want to talk about it.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, you know, there are some people out there that you can look at them and you go, oh, my gosh, they definitely had something done.
Right.
where they look like somebody stretched their face. I used to love it when Craig Ferguson, we used to watch his show, we'd record it. I don't know if you ever saw it, but he would say, oh, maybe I should get plastic surgery, and he'd take his hands and hold his face back on both sides, you know, and talk about it, because, you know, he would see so many of the movie stars and famous people that would come in that had surgery done.
Well, the best surgery is surgery that you really can't even notice that you've had surgery.
That's my opinion of it, yeah, definitely. You know, because that's one of the things that scares me about the idea of ever doing it is that as much as I don't totally love how I look, I don't want to look like somebody else. You know, I still want to look like me.
Right. Right. Well, that's important.
Yeah. So what else would you like to tell our listeners about what you've learned through this? And do you have any more things that you want to tell them? And
well, I think the most important thing that I've learned, I mean, in terms of following and living my music,
mm-hmm.
is that you really, no matter what anyone says, if you really believe in something, that you continue to do it and strive for it. And I think that's the hardest. When people say, oh, you know, it's been how many years and this doesn't work out or that doesn't work out. Oh, why don't you go get a real job, as some people put it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really connected to what it is that you do,
mm-hmm.
then my advice is don't listen. Don't listen to all those voices saying you can't, it won't happen. You have to think positive. And if you have that much of a passion for something, and it doesn't matter what it is, you can make it happen.
Yeah, that's so true, because I mean, really, you're going to get people out there saying, oh, well, that won't work, or that's impractical, or whatever. And a lot of it's just because they feel that way for them, and so they'll be sure to tell you.
Exactly.
And, you know, some of the people are well-meaning. Some of the people actually want to try and help you, but sometimes it's just because they want you to do what they want you to do. I mean, that's one of the things that happened to me with my grandmother, is that she wanted me to be an artist. And so when I was 12 years old and was wanting to be a singer, I overheard her tell my mom that I should forget about singing. And she was so definite, Michelle, that I believed her and didn't sing for years.
Well, she probably wanted to live her life through you.
Right, and she was an artist. She wanted me to paint paintings, and she, ended up talking me into going to college, majoring in art, so I got a degree in art. But, you know, and I do enjoy that a little bit. I mean, as far as the graphic design aspect, I enjoy working with my husband in that and working with the photos and putting the things together. But when it comes to what really gives me joy and that I just enjoy doing for the joy of it, it's singing. That's what gives me more joy. And I just as soon let other people do the paintings.
Well, then you know what gives you joy. And a lot of people don't know what gives them joy.
Yeah. Well, that's part of why I wrote my book and why I got certified as a life coach, is because of the fact that I do see so many people who aren't happy and who don't have a clue what they want to do, or they don't have the courage to do it. And I found for me that I never would have written my book if I hadn't had a coach back when I first started writing. I took some writing classes and then had her as my writing coach while I was writing the book. And I never would have finished the book if I hadn't had a coach. So anyone that has dreams of things they want to do that other people don't believe they can do, but they feel really, really passionate about doing, I really recommend that they get a coach.
And even when it comes to, I had a client tell me she came to me for a consultation, mm-hmm. and we ended up, she was originally just going to get her eyes done, and then we talked about more, and she went to see the surgeon, and I followed her throughout the whole process, including the mm-hmm. aftercare, because she did mm-hmm. decide to have a surgery. And it was so wonderful to hear from her that she said, you know, if she didn't have a plastic surgery coach, she mm-hmm. never would have done it. It was having that person that she could pick up the phone and talk mm-hmm. to and mm-hmm. bounce off things, was really made a world of difference to have that support. Someone that understands. So coaching, as you put it, you know, being mm-hmm. whatever kind of coach you are or whatever kind of coach you need, then mm-hmm. what I do is really, it's just specialized. But it's the same thing. It's the same process of supporting and coaching.
And
that's what
people,
I think more people
support,
have to understand.
You know? Yeah, people need support. It's just, you can't expect to do everything all on your own, you know.
No, you can't. And when you're thinking about doing something like a surgery, mm-hmm. it's serious.
Oh, yeah.
Having surgery
is
very, very serious.
I'm definitely having you as my coach.
Well, I hope
you know, so. we only have a minute left, Michelle, so... do you have one last thing you want to say to our guests before we go?
Well, the one thing that I encourage guests to do is to go to my website, which is www.knittechcoach.com. I also do aftercare and listen to my podcast. You can listen on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play Music. And I have old podcasts actually on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Under Nip Tuck Talk. And follow your dream.
Cool.
Follow your heart.
I agree. Well, everyone, please live your music. And I will be back next week on the show. And Michelle, thank you so much for being my guest for today on the show.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Live your music this week. Bye, Michelle. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.